In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Off and rolling on a Tuesday, December 9th, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I'm your host, Gabe Kuhn, on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That would be Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning 929. Connor, how's it going, brother?
What's up, man?
Nothing much. Just trying to take in all this Notre Dame complaining at once. I'll talk about it. Kind of ridiculous, though. I mean, I'm sick of it.
In a world of a lot of Notre Dames, be a Clark Lee.
Yes, be a Vanderbilt.
We'll talk
about that later in the Blitz. Now, we do have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We have plenty to get to. Charles Huff is going to be introduced as the Memphis head football coach tomorrow, 2:30, at the Murphy Complex. What do we expect to hear? Is he going to win the press conference? What do we think that's going to look like? And also, I do want to address the question off the top. Does it matter if you win the press conference? I have a pretty stern answer on that, pretty obvious answer on that. we'll talk a little bit of the Heisman odds and finalists, what we're going to see happen. The odds are skewed in one direction at this moment. Fernando Mendoza, who
I'm the glue,
got the Hoosiers to be flipping champs. He is the overwhelming favorite. After the Big Ten title game, he was minus 2,000. I think it's figured itself out. It's like minus 1,000 at this moment, but he's still a heavy favorite. Diego Pavia actually in second at about plus 950. So what do we think about that situation? And ultimately, how is that going to play out? As far as guests are concerned, 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins will join the show. We'll talk Charles Huff, among other things, and Christian Fowler at 6. Charles Huff, among other things. Blitz at 6:30, trip around the NFL at 5:30. But Charles Huff being introduced tomorrow at Murphy Complex, 2:30 p.m. Going to be hard for me to make it there with our pre-show meeting and everything else. But we'll see if I can. I doubt it, but I will be able to take it in. It'll be on ESPN Plus, and Tiger fans can take it in on ESPN Plus. Now, will he win the press conference? I fully expect him to. He's a good speaker. He certainly knows how to convey a message about how he's going to build a program. So I imagine he's going to win a press conference. Does it matter if he wins the press conference? No, I think it would help a little bit. I think that this week has been a bit of a sort of, it's been Tiger fans getting on board with the hire, talking themselves into the hire. And if he creates excitement around the press conference, I think you could see a lot more people rally around the program and rally around Charles Huff as the head of it. But does it matter if he wins it ultimately? Not at all. Not even in the slightest. I've seen multiple people win press conferences that have been absolutely positively miserable. I've also seen, conversely, people that lose the press conference be enlightening, be great once they actually do the job that you're asking them to do. I think the one that comes to mind for me mostly off the top is biting kneecaps in the NFL. Dan Campbell lost his opening presser with the Detroit Lions. Absolutely. Now, some people thought it was fun, but I think he lost
Says
it.
Who?
There was many people saying, oh, tight end coach, he's talking about biting kneecaps. What the hell does this guy know about being
a head
coach?
I'm on the right side of history.
But in the end of the day, the guy has had a tremendous amount of success. He's been phenomenal with the Detroit Lions. So Do I care if he wins a press conference? No, I do think it would help with the fan base, ultimately.
The example that came to my mind was Liam Cohen.
Liam Cohen was just kind of the Duval fan.
And now they're awesome. The Jaguars are really good this season.
I don't know if he lost it or it was just that one clip that made him ultimately lose it, I guess.
I think we're fair to say the rest of the press conference
was pretty normal for Liam Cohen, though, last year. So that's what I would say. Now, what do we expect to learn from tomorrow? I would imagine you're going to learn that he has an attacking defense and his offense is going to be multiple. You know, like all of the they're going to play with relentless effort and they're going to demand that you play with relentless effort. And we're going to graduate, guys. You know, that's going to be the main message. What can you take from that? I'm telling you right now, zilch, well, nothing. You're not going to be able to take much from
that. He'll probably have a message to former players and former Tigers,
sure,
too.
But one thing I am very curious to hear from him, knowing the type of recruiter he is and hearing him in the past talk about his recruiting philosophies and what it looks like to develop players, I do want to hear his idea about how you recruit using the resources at the University of Memphis. And I'm sure that will be sort of a first and foremost question that is asked to him by the assembled press there tomorrow at Murphy Complex. What does it look like? You've done this now at a couple of rebuilding jobs. Now you have to take that next step, recruit a higher level of talent to compete against a higher level of talent. How do you plan on sort of molding yourself and your recruiting philosophy to fit that?
Right. I mean, it's a new environment for him. He has never been in a position where he had the type of money that the University of Memphis has. He's never been in the position where I think he has the level of expectation that the University of Memphis has, and deservedly so. You're going to be in an American conference now with a ton of new head coaches. I think that one school, USF, absolutely nailed their coach. The other team in the conference that you kind of have to worry about, Tulane,
did not.
Seemingly may have missed on their head coaching hire. So you have an opportunity now to take hold of this conference in a way that Ryan Silverfield was never able to do. Ryan was graduating guys. He ran a clean program. It was a good program. He got a lot of wins. You won bowl games. You had success against the power conferences. But at the end of the day, you couldn't do one thing, and it was make it to the conference championship game and win that game. That is going to be the goal for Charles Huff, and I am interested to hear what his plan is. And he has been a tremendous recruiter,
recruiter. And
he was at Penn State and has some experience there, but he wasn't at the top. He wasn't the guy leading the charge. He wasn't the CEO of that team.
Right.
Now he's a CEO of a team with a lot of resources. What are you going to do with them?
Yeah, and at Alabama, he was in a similar position, but he was National Recruiter of the Year his final year before he headed to Marshall. So, you know, needless to say, I am, Connor, I think I mentioned this off the air with you yesterday, I am excited to see what he does in the transfer portal.
I think he's going
to
be
really good. I think it's going to be really interesting to see, because there's a lot of big-name quarterbacks. There's a lot of big names out there in the transfer portal right this second. And what's he willing to do to go – you know, get involved with names like that, and can he land guys like that?
Yeah, I also think that, you know, that having saying, you know, I've done it at Alabama, I've done it at Penn State, I have these words from guys like Nick Saban, James Franklin, and Saquon Barkley that you can take out on the recruiting trail and say, I have relationships with these people. These people are in support of me being here. Come be a part of this. We can build something special here at Memphis. He's got a good pitch.
Yes.
He's got a really good pitch.
No question.
Also, we've got a pathway to the college football playoff.
Yes.
Two G5 teams are in, baby.
Big selling point. Although, again,
might change.
And all right, didn't expect to bring this up, but to the anti-G5ers out there in the listening audience, I'm not going to say shove it. What I will say is I've seen a lot of preemptive complaining about the G5 not deserving spots because they're going to get their ass whipped. This is my one request, and I think this
Let's just wait.
This is a super fair request,
right,
Connor. Can we wait till they get their asses
whipped? Just wait for the ass kicking.
And then you can get on your soapbox and be the most ridiculous person in the free world to me. All right? I will hate what you have to say, but at the same time, can we at least wait till Tulane, tell James Madison, get whipped in a game? Because they have a chance. We play the games for a reason. If they stick in there, I don't want to hear you talk about it.
Let's have the same energy for the power schools that get whipped,
yes,
too, though.
Exactly.
I think that's kind of whole point.
Yes.
Is when we went over the scores and the margin of victory last year in the first round.
19 points was the average deficit.
And how many G5 schools played in those
Zero.
Games? Weird. It's yes. almost like and there Indiana, is a huge talent gap
Indiana
between the top
that.
Of college football.
And
yeah.
Indiana saved it because they had two cosmetic touchdowns at the end of the Notre Dame game.
Right.
So it's
right.
like it would have been 23 points as the natural deficit. Over 20 points these teams were getting their brains beat in by.
Every single year, some sort of four-team playoff has existed. Or just any sort of thing that we have seen. There are huge blowouts, including in the national championship game. It's not a G5 issue. It's these people put it together, and never in a million years did they think that two of the top five highest-ranked conference champions are going to be G5.
They didn't think the ACC was going to be as miserable at operating themselves as they were this year.
You made your bed, lie in it.
Yep.
G5 didn't do anything wrong by winning football games. Don't blame them. Don't blame them for the system.
All right, now Heisman finalists, shouldn't say candidates, have been announced. Jeremiah Love from Notre Dame, 1,372 rushing yards, 18 rushing touchdowns. Fernando Mendoza, who's the overwhelming favorite at minus 1,000 right now, and that's more composite. You can get it at a different number depending on what sports book you use. And I think the offshore stuff is getting very bizarre with the type of money that's coming in on Diego Pavia, but that's for a different – it's a different discussion for a different day. But Fernando Mendoza – is the favorite, 2,980 passing yards, 33 passing touchdowns. Diego Pavia, 3,192 passing yards, 27 passing touchdowns, and he ran for another 600 yards and I think over 10 touchdowns. And then Julian Sain from Ohio State's the final one, 3,323 passing yards, 31 passing touchdowns. And if you get to sort of that fifth place guy, it was Gunnar Stockton. Is the guy who ultimately got there, and
good.
I get it.
That
I
makes
get
sense.
It. I think it. I brought that up a couple of weeks ago. One of the best big game quarterbacks in the country.
If he had a better game
Fernando,
against Georgia Tech, he may have been.
But Fernando Mendoza kind of took that crown from him, especially with that Big Ten title performance, and really the one throw that he made to Elijah Surratt in the end zone to ultimately win that game, take the lead, and they held on to it. Right now, Fernando Mendoza's somewhere around minus 1,000. Diego Pavia's plus 950, and then all the other guys, Julian Sand, Jeremiah Love, Gunnar Stockton, well into the plus 1,800 and north range. It feels like open and shut case, especially after the Big Ten championship game, for Fernando Mendoza. Now, I do want to mention something about that. This is a guy who didn't even reach 3,000 passing yards, and he's not some guy that runs for 1,000 rushing yards. This award, when it ultimately goes to Fernando Mendoza, will be one that we look back on and say, okay, this was kind of a lame year in the Heisman race, just truthfully. I mean, we had a Joe Burrow win it with 5,000 passing yards. Usually you get to about at least 3,500 to 4,000 passing yards. You add some rushing yards as a quarterback to ultimately win the award. But, you know, when we look at the statistics, this award's not going to go to somebody who just accrued a crazy amount of statistics. Fernando Mendoza will ultimately win this award because of the team success he had and the ability he had to lead an Indiana program that historically has been piss poor. So I think he deserves to win it, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention, I think this Heisman race, there's a reason it's been so open. No one wanted to separate themselves.
Yeah, no one did. And to be quite honest with you, if Diego Pavia had made it to the college football playoff, I think he probably would have won, but they didn't make it.
Yes.
And Fernando Mendoza is the quarterback of a historic Indiana team, which was one of the worst programs in college football history before Kurt Cignetti got there. And then all of a sudden, they're in the college football playoff. They're the top seed. They won their conference. Of course he's going to win it. It does kind of feel like a, hey, and it feels like a, you got Indiana and you were a part of Indiana getting to the college football playoff and beating Ohio State in your conference championship game. Here's an award, and to be quite honest with you, I think I'm okay with it because it doesn't feel like anyone is being forgotten or snubbed because he's going to win the award. If there was some giant stats person out there that was being ignored because of Fernando Mendoza, I think I'd feel a little bit different. But like you said, nobody really wanted it this year. It was a weird season in college football.
This is something I'm going to ask because this was before championship weekend. This was yards responsible for between Diego Pavia, Fernando Mendoza, and Julian Sain. Julian Sain, before the Big Ten Championship, 3,092 yards responsible for his offense. Fernando Mendoza, 3,001. So not much. And then Diego Pavia sort of lapped the field there by nearly 1,000, 4,018 yards responsible for. Is that enough to you for a 10-2 Vandy team to really give him a realistic shot to win the award. I still think it should, but I think that, you know, when we put into context what Indiana has been able to do with Fernando Mendoza, it just puts him over the top. We usually go by stats. We usually go by counting numbers, but this year I think the Heisman race figured itself out a little bit differently, where you didn't have anybody with those gaudy numbers. So you're defaulting to who had the most Heisman moments, who was great in the biggest games, and quite frankly, who's the best team in the country right now.
Well, and Mendoza had – it wasn't just in that conference championship game where he had massive plays. Like, the Penn State comeback was unbelievable. We were at Tunica watching it, by the way.
Yeah, throwing his feet down in the end. I mean, that was unbelievable.
We'll be back down there this Saturday, so come out and see us from 12 to 3 playing Cerrito Trivia, college football trivia. Come hang out with us. But, yeah, so he has the Heisman moments. And, Gabe, as we've learned in college football this week, the head-to-head matchup matters.
Yeah.
It matters. He beat Sayan,
but obviously Pavia is a wild card here.
I think Pavia, if they had made it to the college football playoff, I think he would
have won. I think pretty clear order of finish here, though. I think we're going Mendoza, Pavia, Sayan, Love, and then Stockton.
Yeah, I agree.
That seems pretty like the top five.
I agree.
We'll figure itself out that way. But, I mean, do you feel in any way the same as me? This was kind of a lackluster Heisman race.
Well, after last year's unbelievable Heisman race.
You had Shohei Ohtani versus 2,000-yard rusher.
Of the greatest seasons we've ever seen in college football happening at the exact same time. And then next year, you know, you were prepared for the Arch Manning run and all these SEC quarterbacks that were supposed to be awesome.
Well, and then before that, you had unbelievably gaudy numbers with Jaden Daniels. And dating back to Joe Burrow, he threw for 5,000 yards. Like, we've had a pretty nice run on exciting Heisman finishes. We were kind of due for a bit of a dud.
And that's why I do think the team accomplishment makes sense for why Mendoza. Because in the context of being the quarterback for Indiana and getting them to the mountaintop like you have is insane. So when we look back at it, we'll say the counting stats may not have been there. But if he wins, we'll say the story, though, makes sense. The story of it makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
But man, Pavia would be fun.
Yes. Yeah. There's some people that are rubbed the wrong way. Pretty consistently.
He bothers me sometimes, but he's a gamer.
Well, I just
it's the theatrics.
I will say this.
I think are silly.
I don't mind Diego Pavia and his, you know, throwing up the Heisman pose when he scores a touchdown. I don't mind all that and the trash talk and all that. But what does get to me a little bit is he has truly tried to manufacture his persona around Johnny Manziel, and like he's trying to force himself into being the new age Johnny Manziel. And brother, you can't. That's something we have to give to you. You have to become Johnny Football. You cannot advocate for yourself to become the next Johnny Football. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's something that has bothered me about the Pavia.
I think the only thing
persona,
that has
personality
rubbed me the wrong way about him, because I love how much of a gamer he is. He leaves it out there on the field. He's a great leader. He's a bit of a front runner with how he talks, and like he only likes to talk when he's won, and I think that the Alabama game this year taught him something. Because remember, he was practicing his celebrations before the game. Then they got punched in the mouth a little bit, and he hasn't been talking much since then.
I would make the case, though, if you're practicing your celebrations before the games.
No, I'm saying because he already beat Alabama last year. I'm saying all of a sudden, when you lost to Alabama, he really shut up the rest of the season. That's what I mean. It's, if you're going to be that, be that.
Yeah, but again, I think it's just the I don't know if I view him as a front runner, because he was saying this offseason when it was.
That's what
like,
I mean. No, because they had the season, they won all these games.
Yeah,
so I'm saying the big moment he had this year was that Alabama game.
Yeah,
and they lost that game.
Yes, and he was the big reason. He was the big reason.
And he stopped talking.
Two red zone interceptions.
That's why I'm calling him a front runner. I don't mind it if that's who you are. Be it.
Yeah.
But don't be practicing your celebrations and all of a sudden you get a little bit more quiet after you get punched in the mouth a little bit.
Now, a couple things in the coaching carousel we haven't really discussed. And this is like coordinators, new hires at places. We know that Matt Campbell's off to Penn State. We'll talk about that in the Blitz. Jimmy Rogers is set to become the next head coach at Iowa State. He's a first-year head coach at Washington State, but he won a national title at South Dakota State in the FCS in 2023. I will say this. I don't know how this is going to work out, but something I'm noticing, this is a trend that is forming around these sort of Midwest pseudo-North schools. They like to go get the FCS stud. They like Kurt Cignetti was that for the most part. Obviously, he had the 1 year in FBS with James Madison, but before that, I mean, he started at D3, won a lot of games. Like, they're getting these guys from lower levels and hoping that they can grow into being a championship coach at the FBS level. So I wonder how this is going to work out. Now, Washington State was not phenomenal this year by any stretch of the imagination, but between what Washington State was 2 years ago and a year ago versus now in a newly remade Pac-12, being on the outside looking in, recruiting's gotten harder. They're just in a very, very peculiar spot. So this is a good gig for Jimmy Rogers to ultimately land in. Zach Arnett, former coach for Mississippi State. He's headed back to Mississippi State as the defensive coordinator. Isn't that a bit bizarre?
That is bizarre.
I know he had some fond moments there as Leach's defensive coordinator, but not a lot of fans are big Zach Arnett fans anymore after his 1 year of really low.
The bail that I think is fair to shoot him, though, here is that's an impossible situation for anybody. Yep. When Leach passed away so tragically, anyone stepping into those shoes, if they weren't Mike Leach.
Yes.
It was impossible.
So, and I'll give Mississippi State fans credit. I think they just admitted, hey, this isn't going to work out.
Right.
I don't think they had like super hard feelings towards Zach Arnett, although some do because they want their dogs to play well.
It might work.
He's a good defensive coordinator. He had success
with Leach. Might as well give it a shot.
He's a good defensive coordinator.
And here's the thing, man. Mississippi State ain't got nothing to lose.
Speaking of defensive coordinators, Tennessee has fired theirs.
I saw.
Tim Banks is out. I'm sure. I have to imagine he'll land on his feet somewhere. I don't know if it'll be as a defensive coordinator immediately. They were somewhere in the 90s in total defense this year. They were not good.
Not great.
But this was a year ago. I mean, they were top 15 in total defense, and he was up for the Broyles Award.
His personnel was insane, though.
Yes, but I would imagine he took part in helping bring in that personnel and develop that personnel.
Sure.
So it's like I'm not saying he shouldn't have been fired. I'm just saying it's crazy how things can switch up in just a calendar year. How much a coach and the view of said coach can change in a calendar year. Tim Banks did a heck of a job in 2024, but 2025 was absolutely miserable, and he's out of a job.
I think that a lot of Tennessee fans, what I saw, and I talked to my buddies about it who, you know, went to Tennessee when I was there, and I think that the taste that was left in everyone's mouth from watching what Ohio State was able to do to Tennessee's defense, the lack of confidence that was left after that, and then it was followed by a not-so-great season defensively, was a difficult thing to overcome for him. I think, yeah, he's a good defensive coordinator, like you said. He'll land on his feet. But I think the combination of those two things is why he ultimately lost his job.
Yep.
And you're also not going to fire Heupel.
Yeah, and Pete Golding, I think, did a really good job today in his hiring of his offensive coordinator, John David Baker from East Carolina, the former co-OC for Lane Kiffin.
I like that a lot.
Is coming back to Ole Miss to be the full-time offensive coordinator for Pete Golding. And he finished 14th nationally in total offense at ECU this year with Caden Hauser in that set of circumstances. And that was a decent team. We saw the Tigers lose to them. But you can deal in a bigger talent pool with a lot more talent at Ole Miss. I know you're playing against more talent, but I think this is a good move for a lot of different reasons. Pete Golding's a great recruiter. I think he can still recruit at a high level at Ole Miss. But John David Baker has familiarity with that program, familiarity with Lane Kiffin's system. I think there's a level of continuity that he can bring on the offensive side of the ball. Will there be a drop-off? I think naturally, without Lane Kiffin as the head of your program, you're going to have a bit of a drop-off offensively. Although, you know, if they keep Austin Simmons on campus, if they can find a way to keep him in the fold, or if they go recruit a transfer portal quarterback, I think they can hit the ground running going into next year offensively, even though they have a defensive head coach.
You know, Ole Miss has it. If you're Pete Golding and you are that coaching staff trying to keep guys on campus, you have an interesting pitch that you can give them. Prove Lane wrong.
Yes.
Prove him wrong. He didn't want
well,
you.
But some, well, yeah,
he
no,
didn't want
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you could try, he but didn't that's want not you. That's we know that's not how it works in today's day and age.
Why not?
It's not that he didn't want you. It's that he wanted a different job. He may bring you along anyway.
You that's weren't good your, enough. You yeah. weren't good enough for
try.
Lane.
You can try you your darndest.
He didn't think that he could build what he thinks he can build at LSU here. Prove yes. him wrong. Stay here. Let's build it next year. That's it. It may not work, but it's an interesting pitch that they can give the
yeah,
players.
Yeah, but I think this is a very good hire by Pete Golding, because the one thing we had to be concerned about when Pete Golding takes over this program and you go for the continuity player hire is, okay, we know that he's a good defensive guy, one of the highest paid defensive coordinators in the country turned head coach. Can he make an offensive hire that can keep this Lane offensive momentum going, this Charlie Weiss Jr. offensive momentum going? I think this gives them the best chance to do that. Bringing somebody you're familiar with, still young, inventive, does a lot of the same things Lane does. And you have already on campus, seemingly, based on the recruiting that was done by Lane's staff, you have the personnel that could probably fit what you want to do already.
Unless
everybody leaves at once, which I don't expect.
It seems like that Pete Golding might be able to keep this thing rolling to some extent.
Yes.
Here, it's the way the fan base has seemingly rallied around this hire.
Well, that was,
is nice.
Yes, but a lot of that is just, We hate how Lane did this so much that we're going to support whoever's in that seat at this
sure.
point.
Sure. I mean, okay. That's
that,
the results
it.
The
it.
Same.
I understand that. I'm just saying, I mean, if that, the okay. reason that it looks that
way. Sign here. Thank you. I don't care about your reasoning. Yeah.
Right.
All right. If are you still going to support, sign that check. That's
yep.
all that matters.
Yep. And then the final thing, Lane Kiffin's staff is returning to Ole Miss for the CFP. Not only Charlie Weiss Jr., who has signed a MOU to be the next OC at LSU, but tight ends coach Joe Cox, wide receivers coach George McDonald, assistant quarterbacks coach Dane Stevens, and slot wide receivers coach Sawyer Jordan have all returned to Oxford to coach Ole Miss for the playoffs.
It's awkward.
It's awkward. I just, what I can't stand at this moment, every time, like the Charlie Weiss Jr. thing, when Lane Kiffin said, I've allowed him to go back to Ole Miss. The amount of people that are not in the know and don't understand how Lane Kiffin operates assume that he's doing Ole Miss a solid. He's not really doing Ole Miss a solid. I mean, this is, at the very least, they should have a semblance of the staff that they won 11 games with and got a college football playoff berth
yeah.
with. It's not like Lane Kiffin is, like, the alternative would be he takes the entire staff with him and leaves nobody behind. That would be the biggest scumbag move of all time.
We're not
going
to give you credit for doing what
back,
you
I'm
should
not,
be doing.
Exactly. When he sends guys back to help them throughout a college football playoff run that they want to have, a potential national championship run, it's not some like, oh, he's doing
what
Lord's
a hero.
Work. What a hero. No. He left the place while they were getting into the college football playoff, and he has to do something to save face.
It's amazing.
I mean, it's
how...
Usually I see a lot of people that are not very in tune with college football having these takes. Oh, Lane Kiffin, great job. This is what you're supposed to do.
I think that his public perception has taken a tumble
of course.
Have not seen in a very long time. He has fallen down. Is it
worse?
People hate
okay,
him
but
again,
let me ask you this. I don't think it's worse than it's ever been.
No,
I think we're getting we
Tennessee was
we got close
rough.
The fall off from how highly he was viewed just a couple months ago at Ole Miss versus where he's at now, the fall off is drastic. I don't think this is the lowest view historically we've
no,
had of Lane Kiffin.
No, I think
Kiffin,
it's
though.
The most.
I think the Tennessee thing is clearly the bottom of the barrel. Maybe the Raiders thing too, with the way that Al Davis handled him on the way out with a full on PowerPoint presentation saying about how bad of a person he was.
I wonder if this is the most disappointed people have been in him, though, because he had this perception.
Well, I think a lot of us, including me, bought in.
He changed,
right?
He changed. He's building something at Ole Miss. He's the king of Oxford. You think he can be there? And then he just plays psychological warfare with the fans and the boosters who helped build him back to prominence, and he stabbed all of them in the back, and I think that it is, that's why, I don't know, man. Like, it feels like people, he got a redemption, and then he fell again. He has to win, I think, big time at LSU to recover from this type of perception. And he might, you know, LSU, Lane Kiffin's an amazing football coach. He's probably going to win a lot of football games, but I don't know, man. Like, the Tennessee thing was rough, but it also wasn't shocking. It was like, Lane Kiffin, he's doing this. He already had a perception of kind of being a bad guy.
He's still young and dumb. This one's but, different
right.
because he did
Alabama, FAU, Ole Miss.
He seemed to have done his rehab process, and it seemed like he had humbled himself in said process.
Right.
And then you learn on the back end, no, he didn't humble himself.
No, if anything, he was just hiding it this whole time. And the first real opportunity he got, it came back. So I don't know. That's an interesting conversation, I think, that could be had about the perception of Lane Kiffin. All I know is that right now it's in the dumpster.
So when the college football playoff gets going, Notre Dame, who thought they were going to get a bid, is not going to be playing. And they're not going to be even playing a bowl game because they took their ball and they went home with it. But in response to the college football playoff committee's decision to leave them out, Notre Dame AD Pete Bevacqua has gone on a media tour. And let me just tell you, it's been incessant complaining. I want to talk about it when we return right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Going in 10 days, there's a notable exclusion from this year's 12-team field. Notre Dame is not involved. Ultimately, by the end of it, Miami winning the head-to-head against them in the first game of the season got Miami over the top, and Notre Dame is left out. And with that, a lot of Notre Dame fans very upset, and a lot of people in that Notre Dame athletic department very upset, including their athletic director, Pete Bevacqua. He was on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday. He's been joining a bunch of podcasts and shows today as well. But he was asked about their treatment, Notre Dame's treatment by the ACC and, you know, treatment by the College Football Playoff Committee. He had a lot to say. This is about a two-minute clip, but I wanted to play it in its entirety to get the full picture.
ACC play in any of this, in your opinion?
Well, I would tell you, I mean, again, I have tremendous respect for Miami you know, great team, great school. Their athletic director, Dan Radakovich, is a good friend. And all the teams in the ACC, great, wonderful universities. We have no gripes about any of the schools in the ACC. But we were mystified by the actions of the conference to attack, you know, their biggest really business partner in football and a member of their conference in 24 of our other sports. And I would tell you, Dan, I wouldn't be honest with you if I didn't say that they have certainly done permanent damage to the relationship between the conference and Notre Dame.
What do you mean?
Just we didn't appreciate the fact that we were singled out repeatedly and compared to Miami. Not by Miami. Miami has every right to do that. But it raised a lot of eyebrows here that the conference was taking shots at us. And, you know, that's just not something we chose to do. We wouldn't choose to do that in the future. And people might disagree with us, but that's just not something that we'd be comfortable with. And again, we have no problem with any of these teams. These are all great teams. You know, you look at those teams, Miami, like I said, great season. They beat us. You think about Alabama. Nobody's had more success in college football over the last decade than Alabama. But, Dan, you know, I mean, you follow this sport so closely. Everybody was saying that we were one of a handful of teams that could win this whole thing.
Yeah.
And now we have 0% chance. Even Nick Saban, you know, nobody knows more about college football, maybe in the history of the world, than Nick Saban. You know, and he said it yesterday. Like, how is Notre Dame not in this? I mean, everybody is just kind of confused and perplexed. And we don't have good answers for the kids on our team, for our student athletes.
Are you going to reevaluate your relationship with the ACC, the overall relationship?
I would just say it's been strained.
That was Notre Dame athletic director Pete Bavakwa talking about the ACC. And the quote that I think everybody's paying attention to is, "We were mystified by the actions of the conference to attack their biggest business partner in football and a member of the conference in 24 sports. They have done permanent damage to the relationship between the conference and Notre Dame." Those are big words from a big institution. Now, the ACC has responded via a statement by their commissioner, Jim Phillips. "The University of Notre Dame is an incredibly valued member of the ACC, and there is tremendous respect and appreciation for the entire institution. With that said, when it comes to football, we have a responsibility to support and advocate for all 17 of our football-playing member institutions. And I stand behind our conference efforts to do just that leading up to the College Football Playoff Committee selections on Sunday. At no time was it suggested by the ACC that Notre Dame was not a worthy candidate for inclusion in the field." Okay, we can debate whether that is true or not. Probably does not pass the smell test. But he also went on to say, "We are thrilled for the University of Miami while also understanding and appreciating the significant disappointment of the Notre Dame players, coaches, and program." All right, now both sides of this have done wrong, in my opinion. I don't agree with either side here, truthfully. To Notre Dame, if you want them to fight for you, or any power conference to fight for you, like a full conference member, I think there's a pretty easy answer as to how you can get that done. You can join their conference, the ACC, or any other conference. They would probably take you. You're Notre Dame. And I also have a message for Notre Dame fans to deliver, because I see this lost in translation a lot, and they get told this a lot, but it never seems to stick. People don't despise you as a Notre Dame fan or a Notre Dame player because of how much you win or how successful and good you are. The reason that people don't like you is because of the inflated, overdone, overcooked view you have of yourself. That's why people don't like you. That's why this consistently comes up. And a lot of Notre Dame fans and people in that athletic department think their name is synonymous with college football. And to a certain extent, yes, it is. Okay. But they also have this same thought that college football cannot operate without me. They can't operate without Notre Dame. And that may be partly correct. We would lose something. We would lose something in college football if you took Notre Dame out of the equation completely. You'd lose that healthy hate that every other fan base has for them. You know, the rivalries that they have created with a bunch of institutions around the country. You know, yearly games that we watch and take in and cannot miss that Notre Dame plays. I get that part of it. But I get Notre Dame has historically and even now added a valuable brand and a shared villain. I get that. But all that said, you aren't the only one that that applies to. I think there's a bunch of schools around the country that college football would not be the same without. Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, USC, Oregon, LSU. I think they all fit that bill. But you are the only one that thinks you're in a league of your own and should be allowed to stay independent with weak schedules and your own TV money. You're the only one that does that. You view yourself through a lens that no one else in college football seems to view you through. You want to have your cake and eat it too. I get it, but you want all the payoff without any of the friction of playing a 9-game SEC schedule or a 9-game Big Ten schedule. And quite frankly, here's where I get bothered by Pete Bavakwa doing this whole thing and Notre Dame doing this whole thing. You usually get your way. You almost always get your way. We learned that this week Notre Dame will be assured of making the playoff if it is ranked in the top 12 starting next year. They changed the rules for you. And if they expand to 14+, they'll just have to make the top 13 and they're guaranteed a spot in the college football playoff. So save me these crocodile tears because you miss out on the playoff 1 year. You view that you got shafted one time and now you're blaming someone else for it. You're blaming the ACC. Not yourself for losing two games and making it a debate. You're at fault. Clark Lee will tell you why later when we get to the Blitz. But also on top of that, you took your ball and you went home. You have the nerve to do that because you missed the playoff? Give me a damn break. This is the first time in my lifetime where I can remember feeling like you may have got shafted, but you are behaving like the spoiled child that you are. It's very frustrating to watch. And Notre Dame, I get that they've always been like this, but the truth of the matter is they don't get their way one season. They get knocked out by a team that they lost to head-to-head, fair and square. And now it's like the end of the world. They're being treated wrong, and no one's on their side. Historically, college football and the college football playoff has always been on your side. You want this frictionless season that gets you into the playoff, and it didn't work out for you this year. Just move on. And to not play the play, not to play the game, the ReliaQuest Bowl or whatever, the Pop-Tarts Bowl. It's just soft and ridiculous and petulant. It's very frustrating to those of us that really enjoy the game of college football. Don't act so spoiled, and maybe going into the future, we can like you a little bit more. Now, I did say both sides were wrong in this. I want to deliver a message to the ACC. You guys know you were wrong. You guys know you were wrong with what you did. All the games that they play against you lift up your profile. Notre Dame and all the games that they play against ACC opponents lift up your profile. And here's the larger point for the ACC. You don't need to single out Notre Dame because your product was bad this year and your best team decided to implode in Miami in the middle of the season and lose two games in 3 weeks to unranked opponents. I just advocated for it with Notre Dame. I need to advocate it yet again for the ACC in Miami. Self-accountability goes a long way in the eyes of college football fans. Your programs, quite frankly, if you're the ACC, have devolved. Clemson, Florida State, Virginia Tech were once nationally relevant. Now they're all soul-searching. I don't think the position you find yourself in as the ACC, I don't think that's Notre Dame's fault or Notre Dame's problem. And it felt like you took it out on them ever since the first week the college football playoff rankings were put out there. So I think both sides are wrong, and both sides, quite frankly, frustrate me to no end.
I think that both sides are a bit wrong here, but I think I also do have some understanding for why both sides are operating the way that they are. You know, last year, we can be honest about it, Alabama did the same thing. The SEC did the same thing, and it led to change, and it led to the SEC getting a kinder eye from the College Football Playoff Committee this year. It just did. Just go look at Alabama. They got thumped.
Yep,
and it didn't matter at all. So, unfortunately, I do think that a precedent was set in complaining works, and doing a media tour when you're left out works. So that's why, like, I understand why their AD is going around doing this. It's one of those deals where Notre Dame, if you wanted the protection or the support of a conference, be in a conference.
Yes.
If you want to have your independent deal with NBC and rake in all that money,
get ready for everyone to not like you.
Then do that.
But you also have to know what comes with
that. Exactly. You have to accept the consequences of that. When I look at the ACC, what I will say, I am glad that the AD said, like, we're not faulting the individual schools of the ACC because their main job is to get themselves in the College Football Playoff. Miami's main job is to stump for Miami, not Notre Dame.
Yes.
I would also kind of argue it's the ACC jobs too. Yes, Notre Dame is in the ACC in other sports. They are not in the ACC for football. The ACC's number one goal and main job is to get one of their schools,
a full member institution in
the College Football Playoff. So that's why it's like, I think that both sides operated incorrectly while also kind of operating the way that I expected them to.
Yes.
I'm not surprised by it. It's just, to be quite honest, I think they need to look at each other and just say, good play. You know what I mean? Like, it's Notre Dame. They stump for themselves. The ACC stump for Miami. And that's kind of what should have happened.
And I
understand why Notre Dame is complaining. I understand why the ACC is like, what did you want us to do? I'm going to look at it and say, good game, move on. That's kind of what needs to happen here. But like you said, Notre Dame's going to get the benefit of the doubt moving forward from the College Football Playoff Committee. The ACC has some soul searching to do about their own teams. And they do need to make sure their relationship with Notre Dame remains at least cordial.
Yes.
But ultimately, it all goes back to the same thing that you and I have been saying since last year's College Football Playoff. Win your games.
And if you don't, be accountable. Be accountable and mention, hey, we made this a debate. We lost two games to start the year. We were 0-2 to start and then beat a bunch of – I mean, the best team you beat down the stretch was USC.
Right.
Okay? Like, you had one really solid win. So, like, I don't know. And going back to what Pete Bavakwa said, the athletic director at Notre Dame, we were mystified by the actions of the conference to attack their biggest business partner in football and a member conference in 24 sports. They have done permanent damage to the relationship between the conference and Notre Dame. And if you heard Dan Patrick, he did ask, you know, is there going to be any steps taken to maybe not be so in cahoots in business with the ACC, and it sounded like Pete Bavakwa was open to whatever was out there. Couple of things I would say about that. One, be careful what you wish for, Pete.
Yes.
On the football field, the reason that you guys have been so successful is because you're beating up on a lot of mid to lower tier ACC teams.
That's exactly the point I was about to make. Yes.
Like, that's like,
I don't know if you want your food supply.
I don't know if you'd rather have a scheduling alliance with the SEC or the Big Ten, because that's probably not going to end the way that you want it to.
Definitely
I think you'd be a successful program. You're Notre Dame. But I would be careful about ruining my relationship with the ACC. Also, for the ACC, don't ruin your relationship with Notre Dame.
Right.
Because they do. The scheduling alliance, there's a contract. They help lift you up. You have a, like I already mentioned, you have a bunch of schools that are supposed to be good at football that are just, I don't know, blowing in the wind. Clemson and Florida State at the top of that list. Virginia Tech, I think, will be back at some point, but that was a historic sort of brand that you had that's nothing right now. So this seems like something that needs to be figured out. I did see a report, though, that since the College Football Playoff Committee made the decision to leave out Notre Dame, Pete Bavakwa has been in...
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Contact with only one conference commissioner. Can you guess who that is? Greg Sankey. With the SEC. So we'll see what happens going forward. I think the real wild card, if they were to leave this ACC scheduling alliance and not, you know, schedule the way that they are now, I think that Brett Yormark for the Big 12 would just drop everything to try to bring them in and strike a similar deal. That's my assumption on the situation, which would be similar to what they have, Notre Dame has with the ACC. I think they'd be winning a lot of games.
That's why
they had a scheduling alliance with the Big 12.
It's one of those where I get it from both sides. I disagree with them while also still having an understanding why they're operating in the way that they are. And that's why they just should look at each other, yell at each other a whole bunch, do your airing of grievances, and move on. Because ultimately, their partnership is beneficial long-term for both of them.
Yes, 100%. All right, now, hour number two is on the way, and we're going to have Jeff Calkins lead it off. On the other side, we'll talk Charles Huff. We'll talk some Tiger basketball, some Grizzlies basketball. Stick around for that.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.